Welcome to the Triumphal Feast Podcast, a ministry of Elder Bryce Lowrance, speaking to you from Brentwood Hills Primitive Baptist Church in Fort Worth, Texas. I want to welcome you to this Tuesday edition of Triumphal Feast, where we have been studying more about Jesus. This chronological look at the life of Jesus Christ using all four gospel accounts brings us to the angels visiting the shepherds in the field the same night Jesus was born. I would like to apologize ahead of time for the audio quality in this episode. The cord to my lavalier microphone had a bad spot in it. Thankfully, we had the ambient microphones still on, and the sermon was recorded in various portions using these. Again, I apologize and hope that you will enjoy our study together as we see these shepherds go from great fear to great joy. Turning your Bibles with me to Luke chapter 2. We're going to begin this morning in verse 8. My message today is about the simple majesty of the gospel. I say that because I know what I'm fixing to say to you for the next several minutes. But the more I study on this subject, the more I stand amazed at the simplicity with which God explains things to us. And honestly, the simplicity of the New Testament worship, especially in comparison to the Old Testament. But just because it's simple doesn't mean that it is plain. It is simple, majestic, marvelous, wonderful. And I'm not talking about the ability of a man to deliver that message. I'm not talking about the kind of show that some folks might put on to draw people in to hear that message. I'm not talking about I'm not talking about any kind of entertaining thing at all. I'm not talking about any kind of big show. Because honestly, any show that men can put on pales in comparison with the show the Lord puts on here in a minute. But what we're going to see, hopefully, as we look at this message of the angels singing to the shepherds and then the shepherds going and seeing Jesus lying in a manger in that stall, and then going and speaking this message, that they gloried in the content of the message, not in its delivery. It wasn't for pure entertainment. It was because they desired a Savior so much that no matter what way that message was given to them, that the Savior was now on earth, it could have come from a child. It could have come from a shepherd out in the field. It could have come from the poor daughter of a poor farmer, as it does. And they gloried in it. It was a simple message, but it was marvelous. Luke chapter 2, beginning in verse 8. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger.
And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, as it was told unto them. That last phrase is the key to everything that goes before. As it was told unto them. It's the content of the message. May the Lord bless our understanding this morning. We find that this account begins out in a field outside of Bethlehem. The time of year we know was probably late September, early October. And there were shepherds keeping watch over their flocks by night. This was something that they did because it wasn't time to bring them into town to sell them yet. So they're out there in the fields taking care of them and looking over them. Veteran shepherds. As we mentioned last week, God came to earth. And nobody knew about it other than Joseph and Mary. We spoke about the idea that even when Mary and Joseph came to the door of the inn, and she is being great with child, there's no doubt in that innkeeper's mind that this lady's ready to give birth, and yet he says, there's no room for you. Even at his birth, he was rejected. We find during his ministry that he was rejected so many times. We find at one point he says that the Son of God, Son of Man, he doesn't even have a place to lay his head. Once again, couldn't get a hotel room. They're rejected his person. They rejected where he was from. They rejected his family. His own family members rejected him. They rejected his message. And when he went to the cross, just about everybody rejected him. And so this is not the picture that you would find in the superhero movie. This is not the idea that men would come up in their heads. Of course, in the superhero movies, you have the story that possibly the guy had a very small, humble beginning, and nobody knew where he was, but he ended up doing some glorious things right in front of everybody and ends up looking like Superman. The Lord didn't do that with our Savior. He did it in an unusual way. And he delivered the message that the Savior was here on earth in a very unusual way. To a great degree, he did it, but to a very limited number of people. We begin with these shepherds in the field with great fear. Or as I wrote down in my notes the other day when I was studying, mega fear. Interestingly, you notice that the angel said that is born unto you this day in the city of David. Okay? Who else used to tend sheep outside of Bethlehem? David did. You know what? There's so many times that the Lord points to specific places. It wouldn't surprise me one bit if these shepherds are sitting in the field, the same place David did when he tended his father's sheep. They are there. And suddenly, an angel appears. Now, let me make sure you understand what this is like. This is not as if they're sitting there and he sees this light just slowly coming toward them and wonders, oh, isn't that pretty? There is the shepherd sitting there, possibly one or two of them awake, the others asleep because they did a night watch rotation. so that somebody was always on guard. The picture that's pointed here uses a Greek word that actually is like a full, fast military assault when it says that he came down there. All of a sudden, this angel is standing there in the middle of them and is towering over them. And it says that the shepherds were sore afraid. This phrase is really, really cool. It is really, really cool because there's actually three Greek words for those two English words, sore afraid. Basically, what it means is being made afraid. They were almost in terror. Not completely in terror, but being made afraid about what happened so quickly and so gloriously, they were almost in a panic and in terror. Lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them suddenly. And the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. The glory of the Lord. What does your Bible say? Who did it shine around? It said them, right? That includes the angel. Okay? There was no light coming out of that angel. I don't know what the angel looked like, but the them includes the angel. And the glory of God, the Lord, was shining around all of them. So not only do you have this giant soldier standing right there in the middle of them, this midnight sky is suddenly lit up like daytime. The Greek word there actually means kind of a halo. Okay, so the light's not emitting out of this angel. The light's around all of them. So if it isn't frightening enough to have this giant soldier suddenly appearing, you've got this almost blinding light all around you. And these veteran shepherds that had killed lions and tigers and bears, oh my, were suddenly sore afraid. Mega fear. But then, and the angel of the Lord said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. Suddenly, this mega fear, the angel says, I want you to have mega joy. Uses the same Greek word there. Okay, this almost absolute fear, he said, I want you to have almost absolute joy. Why do I say almost? Because, brethren, we're not going to have absolute joy this side of glory. And so it's just right close to it, though. Just right close to it. The message that we have here is that the gospel should take us from a feeling of fear and dread of our sins and the consequences of them to extreme joy in realizing that we have been saved by the grace of God in Jesus Christ. The feeling that we should have after the simple preaching of the gospel should be exactly the opposite of fear and worry. To whatever extent we have fear and worry and terror in our lives, it should take us to the other end of that spectrum, as far away from it as possible. Because, brethren, the gospel, and let me make sure you hear this. Bring you good tidings of great joy. If a man says he's preaching the gospel and he is scaring people into the pews, that is not the gospel. If there is this idea on it that if you don't do something, you're in trouble, that is not the gospel. The angels didn't preach it, the shepherds didn't preach it. Now, I'm not going to tell you that we shouldn't be preaching repentance. Yes, we should. But the gospel message begins with the glory of God and the finished work of Jesus Christ, and it should bring joy. We're going to understand why it works that way here in just a second. The angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. I think the shepherds had great joy at this message. I think Mary and Joseph had great joy at this message. But what about Herod? Did Herod have great joy when he heard that there was one born who is going to be king of the Jews? What about the Pharisees? Did they have great joy when they heard Jesus preach or heard the message that he is the Messiah? Something tells me that the angel meant something different than every single human being on earth is going to get great joy from this. The simplest explanation is the angel is saying great joy to men, not angels. Jesus didn't come to save a single angel. He came to save men, and he came to save all sorts of men. I believe it's the Apostle Paul telling us that we ought to pray for all men, then gives us a list of all kinds of men in different positions of authority and rule. So what the angel is saying is that this joyous occasion, number one, is not for angels. Number two, it's for all sorts of men all over the world, not just the Jews. And in particular, now this is the key to the gospel. In particular, this message of good tidings, of great joy, was for those shepherds. The message was for them. How many times have you ever heard a man preach something and you say, oh, I wish brother so-and-so or sister so-and-so was here to hear that message? Well, it might be true that they could have done good hearing it. But folks, if the Lord sent the message and you're there, I'm pretty sure it's a message you're supposed to hear. And when it comes to the gospel, the shepherds understood, this is just for us, for me personally. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. I cannot speak powerfully enough to cause men that aren't looking for a Savior to rejoice in that message. That the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords is now on earth. The Lord promised a Redeemer, and he is here. Honestly, I think there's a cartoon character that's delivered this message far better than I have, because he did it in simplicity. Was it Linus in Peanuts? He said it simply. Didn't emphasize any word over another. He just said the gospel message. And honestly, every time I read this, I hear his voice to remind me that it's not my delivery. It's not whatever dog and pony show somebody can put on to make the gospel sound better to other folks. It's the content of the message. Brethren, God promised a Savior. The Savior is here, and he is the Son of God, the King of Kings, and the Lord of Lords. If those simple words don't excite you, brethren, I can't excite you. Something's wrong. Because that is the joy. That is the good tidings, is that the Savior has come. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. You know, I wondered so many times why the angel told him that stuff. I got to thinking last night, well, there weren't a million people in Bethlehem, but there were several thousand. Pretty good chance other women were pregnant. Pretty good chance that there were other babies in Bethlehem that night. There's also a very good chance that there were several babies wrapped in swaddling clothes. But there was only one in a feed trough in a barn. the one that should have had the palace, because he came from a palace, was in the lowliest of places where the poor people are shunned to. Angel said, shepherds, you're not going to recognize him just because he's a baby. You're not going to recognize him just because he's wrapped in the traditional swaddling clothes. You're going to recognize who he is. And you're going to know my message is true, because you're going to find him where you're not expecting to find him. In a manger. Out in a barn back behind the inn. And suddenly, there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, before we get to their message, I got to get you to understand what happened right here. First of all, the term host refers to soldier. Okay? And not like the way our military's been rewritten, where you can get all sorts of body shapes and stuff. These were armed soldiers ready for battle, scary looking folks. Okay? And the Greek word is where we get plethora. That's a bunch. All over the place. I don't know if it was all of the angels, because it says the word of, but it really doesn't matter, because the number of angels in heaven, no man can number. But they're described as being thousands and tens of thousands and 10,000 times 10,000. That's the different descriptions of the number of angels that are in heaven. Now, in our terminology today, we would say the number 1,000, or if there were 2,000 of them, we would say 2,000. But back here in their language, thousands was a multiple thousand. So when it says the word thousands, it means at least 2,000. Actually, I think it meant more than that, but it means at least 2,000. So if you've got these 2,000, which are the thousands, and then 10,000s, that's 20,000s. Folks, they were afraid of this one angel standing there. They were so afraid, almost in terror. And I've just described to you 22,000 more showing up, but the story ain't over. The other description, 10,000 times 10,000. Who's good at math in their head really quick is what that number is. 1,000,000. There were at least 1,022,000. Excuse me, I did my math wrong. 100,000,000. Thank you. I should have asked Malcolm just to begin with. 100,022,000 angels. I've studied a lot of war history. And in the times that they would describe battles of 10,000 men times 10,000 men, that would fill a field during this battle so much that you couldn't tell what was going on. And brethren, that was just 20,000 men. Add 100,000,000 to that, and they're not men, they're mighty angels of God. Can you imagine the show? But I just thought of this. I thank the Lord for that. When that first angel appeared, the shepherds were sore afraid. When 100,000,000 of them appear, it never says they're afraid. Why is that? They were afraid for fleshly reasons before. But the gospel took that fear away. And it didn't matter what appeared. They were not going to be afraid. They were in full glory. They had replaced that mega fear with mega joy. 100,000,000, 22,000. Now that's a celebration. I mentioned to you back at Christmas that we ought to celebrate the birth of Christ, and well, here's some numbers of how God does it. Incidentally, this has happened once before. God only does this on special occasions. He did it here. We're going to find he's going to do it at the end of time. But he did it once before. It's mentioned in the book of Job in chapter 38. When God laid the foundations of the earth and the stars, sons of God sang together. They celebrated the beginning of creation. What are they doing now? They're celebrating the beginning of salvation.
Victorious God, what can we do?
Thank you for taking the time today to study the Word of God with us. I hope these messages have been a blessing to you. It has certainly been a joy for me to provide them for you. Please check back with us on Friday for the conclusion of the message, From Great Fear to Great Joy. Until next time, may the Lord bless you all, is my prayer.